Today I have something on my heart that I would like to share, and it's probably not going to be a whole long sermon, but it's something that as a pastor I would like to share with you today. And if I was to entitle this message, short message, it would be God is true to his promises. God is true to his promises. For probably about a month and a half, I had something in my heart to share on this topic. And it just, I did not have fully the opportunity to share, but this past week I was sharing with one of my friends. And I was sharing, we were driving in the car, and we were just talking about when God promises something in our life, and then we think that he does not come true. It has an effect on our life. It has an effect. And I began to just share my heart a little bit of my thoughts from the Bible. And there is, on this topic or on this realm, I would like to share with you today, because I believe there are people in this room and also Christian people that when we walk with the Lord, God makes to us promises. The Word of God becomes alive to us. And it's not just a letter, but it's full of life. And it leads us and guides us. And the Bible says into all truth, because our God is a God of truth. And there is no lie in him. And often when we have in our life troubles or where we go through things in our life and we read the Bible, we pray, at times we might sense that God has spoken something to us. And often it's true, but often it might be us. I want to be open and transparent with you today. That often I talk with people and we talk about the same topic that people think that this is what God spoke to me and it did not happen. And now their life is in catastrophe. Now their life is kind of affected by that. Not in a positive way, but in a negative way. And often you see people that are damaged by that. And now instead of driving closer to God, now instead of coming to the prayer closet, it's something that actually this thought that God is not fair, God is not true to his word, his promises did not happen, it pushes us actually further away from God. As a result, we can find ourselves in a place of complacency, a place of compromise, a place of discouragement, a place where we think that, God is not, yes, there is a God. It's not that the matter is not that you believe in God or not. It has nothing to do with that. Because there is a God. You know that in your heart. But it comes down to, is he true to his word? Is it true that he's going to take care of me? Is he true to his promises? And this is when the misconception can start taking place and the enemy can come and sow his own seeds that no, he is not true to his word. He's only true to a certain type of people. He's only true to those people, but not to you. But the Bible says that God does not look at faces. God does not look at because I'm a pastor or you're just working or whatever where you're working and you have a lower. No. In front of God, we're all the same. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no male, there is no family. We're all children of God. And we're all people of God. And all the promises that God has given to us, especially through the Word of God, belongs to us, to those who believed in him. And we're to hold close to that. Often the promises of God in our life come to pass in a way that we don't expect. You know, we have the tendency to control things in our life. We make schedules. We go to work. We come home from work. If we don't want to go to work, we make a phone call. Pretty much, if you think about it, 99.9% in our life, we kind of control what we do and control our lives. But see, the Christian life, it's called a life of faith. It's living a life of faith. And often, because we're so often programmed to do what we do in our life, and we know already what are we going to do tomorrow, where are we going to go, we have appointments, and those things are normal, don't get me wrong. But often we can take those things and perceive that this is how our spiritual walk should be. And when that doesn't happen, we get discouraged, we get hurt. But often I find that God does not move on our own timing, but he moves on his time. He moves on this time. And sometimes I like to ask the person that says, God promised me something, but it's not happening. The question that I have, did he tell you when it's going to happen? No. Then there's a chance for God to still move in our lives till the day we die. And even so, Shadrach, those three people that were in the fire or furnace, right? But even so, Nebuchadnezzar, our God is going to save us. But even so, we're still not going to bow down before your gods. We're going to serve our God Meaning, in different words, that yes, we have the promise of God, but even so, we go through challenges to the end. I'm not going to give up, and I'm still going to finish this race strong. And we're not going to bow to the left or to the right, but we're going to keep our heads straight before God. Amen? The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but waters the earth and it makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and sow bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It should not turn to me void." In different words, it should not turn to me empty. "But it should accomplish," say accomplish with me. Accomplish, one more time, say accomplish. Accomplish what I please. See, it has nothing to do with you. He says that my word, when it comes forth, it will not turn back empty or void. If God sends a word forward, it has to accomplish that because he's God. And then he says, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." Not what we please, but what he pleases. When God speaks into our life and he says something that he will do in our life, it's not, "Oh, because I'm so good that I deserve it." No, it's because God says, "I'm God and I want to do something in this family. I want to do something in this child. I want to do something in this marriage." And he says, "I will accomplish this." Not you. "I will accomplish this. And it shall prosper in the things of which I send it." It's not that it's not going to be challenges. But God says, but when we come together and we trust him, when we call upon him, obviously he's going to direct our life. In this context, it speaks about salvation more. It speaks about our life that God and the word of God that brings forth life and leads us and guides us. And the word of God that we have does not turn up void but brings fruit in our life. But also, it speaks of God's promises. That if God speaks something, he will not lie. He's not a lie. He's not a God of lies. He's not a God that wants to mislead us. But he's a God of truth. And when we walk in truth, he will lead us to liberty. Amen? Hear me, church. It's not that if God promised me something in my prayer closet, it's that what gives me life. It gives me joy. But the life comes from the source where that promise comes. And it's God himself. And if we're not finding that satisfaction and that refuge in the name of Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is our strong tower, no promise is going to keep you. Nothing is going to keep you. It has to be God, the foundation of our Christian life. It has to be him. And all the other things that he's blessing us with, leading us, guiding us, promising to our lives, those are bonuses that we enjoy as Christians because we are his children and he gives good gifts to his children. Say good gifts. Good gifts. This is our God. But often I find that people pray. And a good example of that, I guess, I'm not that old, but I'm not a child. And I was through the age when I thought that I'm praying and I fall in love and you need to search for these relationships. And you know, you hit those ages and everything becomes not important. The only thing what is important is the relationship. And you begin to pray. "God, I like this girl, you know, and I want to marry her. I love her." We think, you know, when you're 17, 18, you think you love, but you have no idea what love is. And Solomon says that he never figured that out till the day he died, you know, but it's a commitment ultimately, right? But we have those fuzzy emotions. And after, when we go to the prayer closet, we already have an idea what that is. "I like that girl. I love that girl." Or the girls about the guys. And we stir our emotions up. And it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. It's us wanting something instead of being honest with God. "God, I think I'm attractive or she's attractive or I like him or her or whatever. I think this. What do you think, God? Lead me now. Guide me." This would be a good prayer. But when we come already with an agenda in our prayer closet, we have the tendency, we have emotions in our life too.
And we pump ourselves up to believe that, you know, this is what God is doing, and this is God is behind this. And we move upon those decisions, and then when nothing happens, we blame God. But God had nothing to do with that from the whole beginning. Because God says, I'm a God of truth. And if I speak something, I will fulfill it. Do you hear me, church? If God speaks something, he will fulfill it. And sometimes we say, well, how do we know that when God speaks? Well, when he speaks, he will fulfill it. Well, how do we know it? Because it's not fulfilled yet. Well, he did not say when, but he said he will. Until the day you're still alive, give God a chance to fulfill his promises. But often, because it's not the way we want, we have the tendency to pout. We have the tendency to scream. We have the tendency to be able to just fall down and kind of just lose hope. But this is the moments that exactly are the moments that we are to come to God and say, God, but you're still my anchor. You're still the promise keeper. No matter what happens in my life, you spoke this. But even if it's not so, I still will serve you. Because catastrophes happen in people's hearts when they think that the promises of God are not good for them. They're not alive. God is not good enough for them. God is not true to his promises. And often this is where the enemy comes and sows seeds of doubt. And then you have the tendency to just walk away and do your own thing. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today not to turn away, not to just go by your emotions, but trust the Lord. For those that trust the Lord, they shall soar like eagles. They shall gain strength. They will not die. Trust in God that no matter what, he's still true to his word. Because his word does not die. It doesn't change, but it's forever the same. The reason for that is because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because he's our God. I would like to bring our attention to a man of God that was in the Old Testament. His name was Abraham and his wife Sarah. And obviously, this story is written in Genesis chapter 17. But, you know, to them was a promise that God is going to bring nations out of them. God is going to use their lives. And I don't know, maybe they were young like me, 32 years old, or maybe they were a little bit older. I'm not sure. But God spoke to them that I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for your life. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was praying or he was with the sheep. And somehow he had an encounter with God. Back then they did not have the Old Testament, the New Testament, so to speak, that you can go in the prayer closet and you can read the New Covenant. It was a little different. And they had to believe God for what God said he will do. It was a chosen people. And said, but from you I'll make the nations. From you I will have an effect. And we have to this day the blessings of Abraham. But Abraham lived a life. And maybe he thought, when I'm 40 years old, God is going to fulfill that promise. I'm going to have a child. Nope. 50 years old. Nope. 60, 70, 80. Abraham was about 100 years old. And God speaks to him again that you will have a child. And he almost says, are you kidding me? I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90 years old. 90. 90. There's only a few people in the world that are 90 probably, right? 90. And you're saying now you're going to fulfill. But yes, this is what I'm going to fulfill because I am true to my word. And age does not matter to me. Circumstances doesn't matter to me. But what matters to me, when all the hopes that you have built, all the things that you thought that you can do in your own strength, when you put away the Ishmaelites, when you put away everything and you come to me empty, and when you come to me that, God, this is impossible to do. Only you can do it. For me, it's impossible. I can't do anything in my own strength anymore. He said, but now I'm going to move. But now I'm going to move among you. Because I am a God of truth. And even in your eyes, you're 100 years old. Even in your eyes, your wife is 90 years old. But my promise is not that I have an age. My promise is they reign forever. When the promise comes from the Lord, it reigns forever. Because it is the promise from God. When Moses was born, the family got together. They were having boys, and all of a sudden, a catastrophe came. They were killing all the boys. And Moses' mom had a choice. What to do with this child? To keep it? What to do with this child? It's a promise. It is the life. In the Old Testament, children were an inheritance from the Lord. It was everything. But now take this child, if you want to save it, and let it go in the waters. It's crazy, right? Take that promise that I gave you. You know, it's, now we're not even talking about the promises. We're talking about having the promise. And still God says, but don't put the trust in the promise itself. But put your trust in me that I am able to keep and protect this promise. And fulfill what I said I will fulfill. And for her to be able to keep that, what God has given to her, she had to let it go. And often we want to control things. We trust the Lord before we get something in our life or before the promise is fulfilled. And when the promise is fulfilled, often we get comfortable. And we think that we achieved something. And we begin to kind of just get smart and think, you know what? I got this. I'm going to protect now. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to build. I'm going to do this or that. If I'm involved in ministry, this is my ministry. It's not my ministry. It's the ministry of God. God has given us this. And it's a service that God has called us to serve one another. To serve one another. And the result of how we're serving God is the way we serve one another. But then when God calls us and you know that first love we have, and then we kind of get smart. We already know how to manipulate things. We already know how to do things in life. But God says, no, I am the source of life. I am the source of that promise. You can't turn to the left or to the right, and you cannot just put the trust all in that what you've built, because if we put our faith and trust in whatever promises God has given us, if those promises in a moment might come to pass, our life might be in destruction, because we build our identity in those things that God has called us to do. But you know what? Often when I look in the Bible, the call of God looked more like seasonal. You think about, for example, Moses. We're talking about him, right? God has promised him, you're going to go. I've heard the cry of Israelites. I'm going to use your life. And it was not a career for him. And then God sends him for 4 years to pastor the sheep. Totally opposite of what he thinks he's going to do. Because in his own strength, he killed a guy. But in God's strength, he saved millions of people. This is the difference. That sometimes when we're moved, even with the promises of God, they're a dangerous thing. It still requires faith and trust in him in the midst of those promises and dependence upon the Lord. But Moses was used for a season of time. He did not make a career out of that. So often we think that, oh, God is going to call me to do this. That's great. And if it's a lifelong, great. But it might be a season. It might be a window that is open for God to just use you mightily. God can use you at work. God can use you at home. God can use you when you go to drive-thru. God can use you in those moments to put a smile, to say a simple word. Jesus loves you. How can I pray for you? A few days ago, we had friends and we went to Hershey Park. And I've met a man who was in the Army. He was in the Marines. And he's in his older age already. And he's just retired and he's doing his own things. And people like that, you know, they're so hard to talk with sometimes. They've seen everything. Everything. And I'm trying to witness to him, and everything is logical. It has nothing to do with faith, or everything has to be logical. If it doesn't make sense, kind of you're dumb, you know? And I always just, you know, the line was long for the ride, and we're just talking. And then in the end, I just said in my heart, you know, obviously it's so hard to witness to this guy because he knows everything, right? He's from Marines. And I just wanted to pray for him. And I said, can I pray for you? If there's anything you would like me to pray for, he's like, don't waste your time. If you want to pray, pray so I can win a lottery. I was like, I'm not going to pray for that, you know? But it's so often, it's kind of like we have everything in our hands. Everything has to make sense. Everything has to do what we know to do. But God often doesn't do that. God often doesn't move that way. And if we become so logical, we lose that dependence on the Lord. And we lose the joy that comes with the dependence. Because it is joyful. It is a joyful thing. Amen? When we go on vacations, and obviously we like to go to the beach, to the ocean, I would like to ask you to do something. And maybe this will bring just a memory of this sermon. But if you take sand in your hands and you try to keep that sand to take it home, okay? So usually, let's say, for example, let's say you're taking, what, like 5 ounces of sand and you're trying to bring that home and squeeze it as hard as you can. Squeeze it as hard as you can. I want to know how much sand you're going to bring home.
Because the harder you squeeze, the whole sand is just going to fall apart. Even though you think all this, there is no cracks over here, but the sand finds its way out. Or another experiment you can do, you can take the sand and keep it open in your hand. And most of it that you're going to put there is going to be there still if you come and put it in the bag and you're going to come home. The illustration that why I'm bringing this is how we are walking with the Lord. The things that he's given us, if we just hold it and squeeze it, it's just gonna go all out. But let's keep it before the Lord because it's his promises, not ours. Let's keep it open, our eyes before him. Not to control it, but to have a hand that it's open. And this is when God says, but I am wide open for you as well. I want to lead you, guide you, bless you. Don't build your life just on ideas. Don't build your life just on techniques. But build your life on the promises of God that comes from the Word of God first. And the second ones that are coming in our prayer closet has to in line with the Word of God. You have some people out there that they were in the prayer and they had all these illuminations that are contrary to the Word of God, and religion starts from there. Heresy starts from there. But all the promises of God that we have, it's gonna come from the Word of God. It's not gonna be contrary to the Word of God, but it's gonna be together with the Word of God. Amen? And the last example that I would like to just talk to you about, it says in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And in context, this talks about the second coming of the Lord, that he's not tearing. He has a plan. God is coming to take his church home. But I think it fits also with what I'm speaking today. So Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says this. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries or though it's coming slow, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Again, he says, behold, there is prideful people. Behold, his soul is not upright in him. But the just, the people that are called Christians, the people that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they shall live by faith. And how do we receive this promise? It's by faith. It's still having faith in God. It's not giving up on God. It's having faith in him. And then this is what I love right here. Behold, the proud his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. I love this. I love this. But in the beginning it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. You see, God has a time. God has a time for everything, even his coming. Everything is planned by him. But at the end, he will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. Wait for that time when he's going to come and take us home. But also wait for his promises to be fulfilled in our lives. Wait for it. Wait for it. The vision that spoke, he will come to truth. Not at your own timing, but when you come to the end of kicking and nagging, when you come to that end, God is going to move then. I have two small daughters, and man, the oldest one is 3 years old, and I see myself in her. And often, even this morning, she did something. She came in and just lied on the floor and just kicking and screaming. And you kind of just wait, like, what the heck is going on with you? I just told you to do the right thing, and you want things your way. You see, we kick and scream and we want things our way. Our kids are a perfect example of that. It's a perfect picture of that. And I've asked her to stand. And she said, I asked you to stand. And she stood. And then I asked her to just stand and be normal. be normal. Just don't do that. That's not nice. It's powering. It's like, what did I do to you? Because you didn't get your way? But then obviously, there is a hug. There is a kiss. There is a word that I love you. You're safe in my hands. I'm your father. I desire the best for you. You're not gonna get what you want by kicking and screaming and laying on a floor. That we're gonna get what you want by trusting me, by knowing that I'm your father and I desire good for you. That I wanna embrace you. But the moment you act up, this is the moment when you're not gonna get anything. And this is how God often moves in our life. The moment when we act up, the moment when we think that now is supposed to be what I want. This is what I want right now. God, you spoke to me this right now. But no, you wait for it. And when we are normal, if I can put it that way, normal Christians, not Christians that pound and are unhappy and sad that God doesn't move. No, he does move. But it's on his timing. On his timing. Oh, but I have this issue, I have this going on. Great, you'll have more of those if you don't put your faith and trust in God. How much energy we give to that? Or how much energy we'll give to come to the prayer closet, God, God, you're still in control. Not begging God. Oh God, you said you're going to do this. When are you going to do that? That's annoying. That can be annoying, right? But God, I thank you that you're true to your promise. Oh, what a different prayer that is, my brother, my sister. God, I thank you that you're not a God that you lie, but you're a truthful, truthful God. You're a God that speaks wisdom. You're a God that restores. You're a God that heals. And even though my family doesn't look like it's perfect, and you have promised that you're going to move among us, God, but I still love you. I'm still going to follow you because you're my source of life. God, I thank you that in the midst of all this chaos, I can still have a relationship with you. It all begins from there, my brother, my sister. The last example I would like to bring is Joseph. That is written in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a promise. Joseph was excited about that. He was so excited that in his just youngness and in his just open heart, he came and told his brothers what the dream was. And his brother says, yes, we're going to bow before you. We're going to serve you. Yeah, right. Get out of here. We're going to kill you. Often this is how the dreams look like. People might not be excited about it. But if it's God, it's going to come to pass. Can you imagine the heart of Joseph? He was a young guy, a young child, so to speak. And God put a dream in his heart. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use your life to bless your family. I'm going to use your life to impact your brothers, your sisters. I'm going to use your life to bring restoration in the land. I'm going to use your life. And Joseph had this dream and he shared with people. And the dream did not come to pass in his timing. Because in his excitement, in his immaturity, he came and just told everybody, right? But instead of a dream, he went through hell. Instead of a dream, he went to prison. Instead of a dream, he was in a pit where there was darkness. Instead of the dream that God has promised him, he was going to agony and pain. Instead of the dream that God has given you, instead of the promise that he thought that he saw a life, he was everything but that, what God has given to him. And some suggest that it was probably 14 or 20 something years later that God brought the dream to pass. God brought that dream to pass, not in Joseph's time, but in his time. Because God will not lie. God is not a God that will lie, but he's a God of truth. And if he spoke it, it will come to truth. But if you spoke it, it will not come to truth. I have to be honest with you. Let me repeat that. If God spoke something, and it's with the word of God, it goes together with the word of God, it will come to pass. Because God will not lie. But if you spoke it to yourself, it will not come to pass. And as a result, it will be destruction. As a result, it will be pain. But in Joseph's life, God spoke. And even he went through this destruction, even he went through this pain, even he went through all this confusion, in the midst of that, he never lost sight of God. He never lost sight of God. I don't think the vision kept him in prison, but I think the love that he had for God kept him in that prison. I don't think in the midst of that pit when Joseph was that the vision kept him there. I think maybe, I'm just thinking that, it's not in the Bible, but I think that Joseph probably was thinking, what the heck did I just do? Why did I have to share that? Is this really God speaking to me? The people that are supposed to bow before me, the people that I'm supposed to provide for them, actually are trying to kill me now. Is this really God? And he began probably to question things in his life. But later on he says that Joseph still had this steadfast love for God, and God had this steadfast love for Joseph. In the midst of questions, the last answer was God's word, God's promise. And God restored his life. God used his life. And God touched the nations. Millions of people were able to eat. God gave him wisdom. God rose him up. Why? Because he put his faith and trust in God. Not just in a promise, but in God. In God. This is the source of all the promises. And those promises will come to pass if it comes from God. Amen. This is pretty much it. I have nothing else. And at this time, I would like to just spend some moments in prayer. I'm young. I have not lived this life to be able to know everything. But one thing that I'm learning is just God, have mercy and help me. Help me in whatever what I do to honor you. To honor you. And to be led by you. To be led by you. Never to let the circumstances affect my relationship with you. But help me from my relationship with you for me to affect the circumstances that I face. This is the cry of our hearts. Amen. Last thing I would like to share. I was in California. We were traveling from the school about probably 8 years ago. And we were one of the churches. And we were speaking and sharing about the school a bit. And they had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker looked at me and says, "You're going to be a pastor. You're going to be pastoring. And many people are going to say that you're not qualified for that. But I qualify you. You're going to be called." I'm saying, what the heck are you talking about? I don't even want to be a pastor. This is what I'm thinking. And I'm serious. This is a hard job. Well, I should say job, ministry, if I can put it that way. Right? I don't do this as a job. This is a ministry. You're serving people. It's not easy. And I did not want a pastor. I wanted to do the easier job. You know which one it is? Or the easiest ministry. You just go and be an evangelist. You just preach the gospel and then you leave the people to the pastors to deal with them, you know? This is the easiest thing. You call the people to leave their lives to Jesus Christ and then you're kind of like, pastors, here's your sheep. That's the easiest thing, I think, in my opinion. And this is what I thought that I'll be doing. But when he spoke that, I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't want to be a pastor. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't even know me, right? And probably I even went further than that because I spoke before that. And this is what I told my friend Matty D, actually. I told, he probably said that just because after I spoke. He should have said that before I spoke. But now I kind of spoke, so now of course he's going to say something good, you know. This is my carnal thinking. And Lord behold, 2 years ago, out of nowhere, I'm doing maintenance. I'm still doing maintenance here. I just got called to the office and you know, it was, hey, we feel you have the call of God, and would you pastor Pastor Nick here, both of us, co-pastor here under Pastor Carter Collins in leadership. And the second offer was to still continue maintenance. And I had to think. And I went into my office and I began to think, and my wife was there, and we didn't talk. We were supposed to talk. We didn't talk. And tears came down my eyes, and I just says, maintenance is just as important as pastoring. It's just as important because it's servanthood. And I just said yes, and the rest is going to be a history. But this is how God moves. When he says something, when he puts something in your heart, even if you don't want to go, he will open the doors. He will open the ways. He will make it happen. Is it easy? No. No, if it was my choice, trust me, I would be doing business because this is what I enjoy doing naturally. But it's something that God has called, and I'd rather follow God and his calling, his promises, his vision than my own. And if it's God's, even 8 years later it can happen. If it's God, 50 years later it can happen. And I'm reminded of Miss Ella. She was praying for her dad for years. I think it was like 40 or something years. And before he passed away, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about that. It was not a month or two. We can deal with that. 30 or 40 years, I believe. Years. Years. And he's in his deathbed, and you got, God, please have mercy. And God comes, now it's my time. But through this time, I'm going to work on your character. Through this time, I'm going to work on your heart. Through this time, I'm going to work on for you to trust me more. For you to lean upon me. This is the reason why we go through things. And at the end of the day, my brother, my sister, God is good. Think about that. God is good. And don't let a life in the pit of hell come and tell you that he's not true to his promises, that he's not good in your life, that you're different than everybody else. God, in his essence, in his core, he's good. And he wants the best for you. It doesn't mean without challenges. We're going to go through challenges in life. But ultimately, he's for us, not against us. He doesn't want to destroy us, but build us. He doesn't want to cause us pain, but he wants to heal us. He is good. And his mercy endures forever. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is good. And his mercy endures it forever. Doesn't matter what you're going through. God is good. And his mercy endures it forever. And his promises, if it came from him, it will pass. Just hang in there. You might be 80 years old on your deathbed, and God is going to fulfill his promise. Because it's his timing. It's not yours. It's his promise, not yours. It's him. It is him. It all belongs to him. Because through him, we have our being. We breathe. We act. It's through him. Because we're his children. Amen.